No, we gonna stand up and light. If he'll,
yeah.
If he get us on starting, I'm like, Charles.
Hallelujah.
Can you see? He's got new glasses, and I meant to bring his old ones, and I didn't. I thought I had it.
Problem.
Y'all see better now.
Yeah.
They had to adjust him so much. They said his eyes weren't measured right. And so he may feel poor trying to get his eyes adjusted, going in the right space. So
mine's been like that all day today.
He's feeling.
And I can feel it pulling too. But. I ain't got a memory. So, well, I just got to depend on the Holy Spirit, and I said, amen. So, well, turn into the book of Psalms, chapter 49, in the book of Psalms. Here tonight, we're just going to read verses and then kind of elaborate, speak about the verses and see what God will give us. But before we get to down to chapter 49, I want to go back up and I want to read two verses up here in the book of, chapter 48. And it's verse 9 and verse 10 in the chapter 48 of the book of Psalms. But verse 9 there in the book of Psalms, chapter 48, it says, "We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the end of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness." Chapter 49 and verse 1. It says, "Hear this, all ye people, give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a preparable, I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the day of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of thy riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of thy soul is precious, and it ceases forever, that ye should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Then inward thought is that thy house shall continue forever, and thy dwelling place in all the generation to all the generation. They call thy land after their own name. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their prosperous approves thy saying, Selah. Let sheep, like sheep, they have laid in the grave. Depth shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall continue in the grave from the dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of the house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he liveth, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his father. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understanding not is like the beast that perish. Now, Father, we want to thank you for these verses, Father, where we have just uttered. And Lord, we're just asking now, Father, from thy help, that you may help me with the message tonight. Lord, you know that these glasses that I have on, Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to be able to get these glasses. But Father, now I'm trying to get used to them. And Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct the message tonight. And Father, we just want to thank you and want to love you because you first loved us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. First of all, before I get into the message tonight, I know that I want to go back and I want to apologize to each and every one of you, because when I was up here praying, and when we had prayer and everything, and I was praying, I misspoke. And I don't know why I did. I said that was a devil. But I said it, you know, when Noah standing on the holy ground. That wasn't coming from Noah. That was coming from Moses there in the book of Exodus. And Moses is the one stood on holy ground. And every time that we stand and every time that we come into the house of the Lord, we're standing on holy ground. Here tonight, I just want to go back and I want to share some thoughts with you. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. In the midst of thy temple. This right here speaking back when David got alone with God. And you know the story about David. David was after God's own heart. But yet and still, David still sinned against God. He didn't do it unknowingly. He didn't do it willfully. But he done it because Satan was right there with him. And we have to be mindful for that. This Satan, he walks with us and he talks with us each and every day. And we have to discern between, is it the devil or is it of God? It took a whole lot for me to realize some things that we need to remember, that God, he looks down upon his people. And he looks down upon us. Why? Not because he has to. Not because he wants to. The reason he does, and it says right here, according to my name. According to thy name, O God. So is thy praise unto the end of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. That's the reason God the Father had the Word of God written. That's the reason God the Father picked out over 40 different individuals down through time that was going to be instruments to be used of God. And not only did God use them, but also God used the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led each and every one of them individuals to pin down the very Word of God. He didn't pin it down just for them. He pinned it down for me and you. And we don't have the complete book. If we had the complete book, we would probably have to have maybe 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 tractor trailers out here to be able to put all the paper in it. Each and every word that was written. And still it probably wouldn't hold it. Because it says in the book of Revelation, this world cannot contain the Word of God. According to thy word. According to thy name. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You have the Trinity there, and you have the Trinity that goes all the way back to the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, what did he say? In the beginning, what? God created what? The heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God, what did he do? God, what did he do? He created, what did he do? Heaven and earth. God created all of that for us. Now why, and I thought about this many, many different times, why would God create a heaven and an earth? We know that God's way out there. We know that God's there in heaven, which has always has been, always will be. Did he create earth? God was lonely. He knew that Jesus Christ, his son, would be lonely one day.
Not only that, he knew the Holy Spirit would be lonely also one day. And I'm so thankful that I don't just have God the Father in my life, but I have the God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I have the triune God in my life. And we may look tonight and say, well, it's just eight people here tonight. 2, 4, 6, 8. No. 4 of them 8 is what? 32? God. What is God? God's a He. God the Son is a He. God the Spirit is also a He. But you have some people who say, well, the Holy Spirit's an it. I ain't never seen an it out here comfort me. Have you? It has never convicted my heart either. But I thank God for the triune God. I mean, that's just like some people out here just don't even believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. I do, 100%. If I believe in God, and if I truly trust God, I've got to also believe and trust in the Holy Spirit. Some people don't. They say, oh yeah, we believe in God. We believe in Jehovah God. You got to use that word as Jehovah now. Jehovah mean what? El Shaddai and El, all of this in the Old Testament. I says, but the thing about it is, it's just not Jehovah. It's God the Father. And I ain't talking about God the Father like some people will go in there and says, bless me now. And they're going to have a little booth and everything where nobody won't see them and everything. And they'll confess their sins unto man that they call Father. I ain't never seen a man that I want to call him a Heavenly Father. Have you? I haven't. And I haven't seen an individual yet that I could go and I could confess my sins unto them and they completely wipe it clean. God the Father. I'll do better than that. God's not just my Father. God is my Papa. I'll go better than that. God's not just my Papa. He's my Daddy. I'll go farther than that. God the Father, He's my friend. But you have some denominations I hear that they believe in just this and that and everything. Well, they can believe what they want to believe. You can't argue with them. Just like Brother James Apple was telling me, I think it was I don't know if it was yesterday morning or Monday morning when he called. He called and he was talking to me. He said, you'll never guess who was at church last night. And he was there waiting on me. I said, well, I knew you'd want God. I knew you'd want Jesus. I knew you'd want the Holy Spirit. Because He won't wait down on us, and I'm still here, so, and you're still here, I'm talking to you, so, I don't know who you're talking about now. You know who it was? I know y'all probably know him, you heard of him. Some of his people
from the church up in Reedsville, the Church of Christ, Johnny Robinson. And he picked up one of James's tracts, I Hear the Church, and he read it. And he told James, he said, "Well, I got one of your tracts right here. I just thought I'd come by here and I just want to have a discussion with you." James says, "No." Says, "You want to argue about the Bible. I'm not going to argue you about the Bible. You need to get saved first." I says, "But," and I asked him, I said, "Did he come in?" He says, "Well, no." But he said, you know, I told him, I said, you know, he said something to him about coming in. James, he said, Brother James told him, says, "Now, you come on in. You come in, you can sit down. But the first disturbance you cause, you'll be escorted out." He said, "You mean you'll escort me out of church?" He said, "Sure will." And he said, "I got some pretty good men too." He said, "I believe they can escort you out." Which one of them used to be a deputy, so I know he could. So, but he wanted to argue about the Bible. And that's all some people want to do. They just want to argue with you about the Bible. The best way to get to them is just say, "Well, I can't argue about the Bible because God's given me this book. And as God gave me this book, I got to believe every word in it." He says, and that's what James told him too. And he told James, he said, "Yeah," he said, "I reckon you think you're going to heaven too, aren't you?" James says, "It ain't no doubt about it. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm saved." He said, "But I don't know where you're going." He said, "I don't think you're going to heaven, though. Not the way you believe." He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "And you a Baptist preacher in a Baptist church? And you say that you're going to heaven?" He said, "Yeah. Sure am." See, what they believe in is not but one church, the Church of Christ. But see, he takes that them three words out of context. See, he's looking at it as denomination. We don't look at it as denomination. We look at it as, "I am the church and he is Christ. This church is supposed to serve him." See, they want to put denomination in it. That's where they fall. That's where they're going to fall at. And Johnny Robinson, as far as Johnny Robinson, I don't know if Johnny Robinson is even still living or not. I knew he was battling cancer that one time. A bad case of it too. But he was still condemning what the Bible was saying. Said that you need to be baptized before you ever get to heaven. James says, "Well, what about that thief on the cross then?" He said, "He didn't get baptized. Matter of fact, he went into heaven without being immersed."
James says it, and I'm, you know, I'm just going to tell you what I got from you tonight. And then I'm going inside, I got to go. You blaspheming God. He's because you are saying to Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, all three of them is a liar. Because he died in vain. If you're saying that you got to get baptized to go to heaven. He said, well, I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible tells. Tells me you got to be baptized. He says, you don't have to get baptized to go to heaven. You just being obedient unto God is all the baptism does. Just being obedient unto God.
But it says right there in him. In verse 3 of chapter 52. Chapter 52 and verse 3 says, thou lovest evil more than good. And they and lying rather than to speak righteousness. That's in chapter 52. Thou lovest evil more than good things. Thy lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusteth in the abundance of his riches, and strengthen himself in thy wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before the saints. We need to love God with all our hearts. And I'm talking about when we do that. You will end up loving the individual that hatefully despises you and hatefully uses you. You will not believe some of the things that I've been through as a preacher. Well, some of the lies that the people have told on me. And I'll see them out. And I'll speak to them. I'll speak to them out. And I'll sit there and I'll have a conversation with them. But as far as me going out and having fellowship with them, you have to draw the line. Because sometimes people will just do that to get you out of fellowship with God. It's just like
the last job I had,
and I don't think I've told anyone down here. If I have, I'm sorry, but I'm like, I think it could be repeated again. And I'm going to close with this, I promise you, that he come back from work that day, at Friday afternoon. And he said, well, he told us many times that he loved God. He was with the Gideons. And everything and all of that. But he come back to work that afternoon. And at 5:15, between 5 and 5:30, I'll say probably around 5:15. He called me to his office. And he says, Donnie, this is not the first time he's done that. He done it for 3 or 4 months there. I mean, he got rid of some good people that knew what they was doing. And he says, Donnie, while I was at home and I was resting there after I ate, this right here I've never understood, but I never let it bother me. He says, Donnie, God told me when I get back to work to call you to my office this afternoon and fire you. Well, he did that. And I didn't frown, didn't express any change on my face or nothing. I said, well, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. So I was on the way home, and to this day, I cannot tell you really what streets or what I drove on, but I was just praising the Lord and just shouting the whole way home. I said, Lord, you took me away from my job. I said, I ain't there no more. I said, but what I am asking you to do is open some doors for me to where I can have an opportunity to go out of here and to witness to some people. The only thing that I was really concerned about was my wife and my daughter. Drove up, parked beside the car, got at the truck, and come on to the house. Opened the door and get her to come in, and she met me right at the door. And I didn't say nothing. She looked at me and she says, you got fired today, didn't you? I said, yep, sure did. She said, what are we going to do? I said, what do you mean we're going to do? I'm going to trust God. But let me tell you what. It wasn't 2 days later that I had an opportunity to go to the hospital where I couldn't go when I was down to work, down on a job. But I had an opportunity to go to the hospital and visit somebody. I took the word of God and led them to the Lord. We must use all the opportunities that God gives us. They're right there for us. And He wants us to use them. I'm not going to tell you that from that time forward that I didn't come up and we didn't I had some hard times after that.
But hey, I still left it to God. I says, God, if you want me to go back to work in a public job, I said, you open the door. I'm ready to go. Whatever you want, I'm ready to go. But God, I will say this. And I did. I prayed this. I said, God, I said, I just need for you to show me what you want me to do. Because I know that you've called me to preach. I don't have a problem with that. But now you want me to pastor a church. And I'm no pastor's material. I said, I'm going to tell you, I cannot go to pastor a church and be the people's pastor with me out here working a public job. I said, because God, if somebody in the church has a death in the family, early in the morning, I'm supposed to be with them. If somebody ends up going to the hospital and I hear about it, I need to be at the hospital with them. I don't need to be at work and worry about it because I will not be able to concentrate on my job, and I wouldn't. And I said, God, I said, I'm going to leave it up to you. You've got the final say, so I'm going to do what you want me to do. Hey, I mean, we made it. When time got a little troubled or something like that, or money getting a little short, God opened my door and I'd just
go and I just
fill in on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I've had pastors call me and said, "Want you to come fill in this week for me." Says, "God, I'm gonna be on vacation." Went and drove to Mount Airy, North Carolina. And her mother was in the emergency room the Saturday night before. But we still left on Sunday morning. We was aiming to leave on Saturday afternoon and go up so we could talk to the people. The people want to talk to us. But I just called them and I told them, I said, I'm sorry, we can't make it this evening. My wife's mother's in the hospital. I says, family, to me, and what the Bible teaches me, it's God's number one. Family is number two. Church is number three. And if you take it, if you put all three of them, and I told him, and I said, if you'll take them, and if you put them in that order, and that's the life that you live, in church, out of church, or whatever, that's the way you live your life before God. You ain't gonna worry about him being number one. You ain't gotta worry about your family being number two. And you ain't gotta worry about church. You not being there when you know you need to be there. I said, oh God, see, God looks down on things like that. But we must, I know that we serve a loving God and a caring God. Right, and a righteous God. There's nothing I've done can deserve what righteousness that I do have. It's all through His Son. Everyone stand. all your eyes closed. And I think tonight we're not going to hear no song. But if the Lord spoke to your heart anywhere at all about anything, whether it was a message tonight or whatever, or something maybe that He's spoken to you about earlier during the day or any day this week, if He has and you feel like that He's spoken to you about it, you need to come to the altar.